This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. We hear a lot these days about the need to reduce food waste, and that is an important goal. Farmers certainly don't want to see the product of their hard work wasted. A rotten head of lettuce in a consumer's refrigerator is a loss of a couple of bucks. A whole field of produce that goes to waste because the farmer cannot hire enough workers to harvest it amounts to tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars in lost income. That's the case with Burr and Rosella Mosby, zucchini farmers in Washington State. They say they're losing money and it's getting harder every year to find enough workers for harvest, even if they offer higher wages. And, of course, there is only so much a farmer can pay before it becomes unprofitable to grow a crop at all. If we don't solve this problem, we'll be importing more of our food. Many of the other jobs that support U.S. ag production, from transportation to equipment sales and maintenance, would disappear too. This is not a new problem. In fact, in 2014, the American Farm Bureau produced an economic study that found as much as 60% of U.S. fruit and vegetable production would move to other countries if there is more enforcement of worker eligibility requirements, but no corresponding solution to problems with current agricultural labor programs. Problems such as not getting approved for enough workers or paperwork delays that result in workers showing up after crops are past their prime. One solution that could be moving soon in Congress is a bill sponsored by House Judiciary Committee Chairman Bob Goodlatte to allow currently undocumented farm workers to apply for visas that would allow them to work legally on our farms. Chairman Goodlatte's bill would allow, for the first time, dairy farms to participate in the labor program. The bill needs some improvements, raising a cap on the number of worker visas, for example, but it would be our best chance in years to make progress on an issue that is difficult, but also so important to farmers, consumers who want their food grown in U.S. soil, and rural communities that benefit from the jobs that farms and ranchers provide. It is time for a solution to the ag labor problem before more of our food and the U.S. farms and ranchers that produce it go to waste. August trade data showed exports continued at a double-digit pace, increasing 15% over August 2016. This marks the third straight month of double-digit export increases and extends the year-to-date lead to 15% over last year. Leading the way in the month of August were increases to Vietnam at 113%, Japan at 9%, followed by Hong Kong's 28%, and Canada's 18%. Mexico and other countries showed single-digit increases, while China and South Korea posted year-over-year declines. Imports also increased in August, up 8% compared to 2016. Several countries had double-digit increases in imports to the U.S., starting with New Zealand 19%, Australia's 15%, Mexico's 14%, and Uruguay's 14%. Brazil and Nicaragua posted year-over-year declines this month. Year-to-date imports are still hovering at just below a year ago, down 3%, although the last 3 months have shown rather strong increases. The House Natural Resources Committee has approved a bill that would restore Congress's original intent in passing the Antiquities Act in 1906. In modernizing the law for the 21st century, the Farm Bureau-backed National Monument Creation and Protection Act would protect archaeological resources while ensuring public transparency and accountability in the President's use of the Antiquities Act. Approved by Congress more than a century ago, the Antiquities Act does not explicitly require the president to consult with local and state authorities, but it does mandate that the president reserve the smallest area compatible with the proper care and management of the objects to be protected. However, over the last 8 years, the Obama administration used the authority provided by the Antiquities Act to go well beyond Congress's intent, locking up millions of acres of land from multiple uses by designated land as national monuments. 17 large wildfires have burned across California for the last week, with many of them out of control. Farmers and other agricultural professionals said it was far too soon to assess the damage fully. This is an ongoing emergency situation, according to Napa County Agricultural Commissioner Greg Clark. There's very limited access to the areas that are on fire, and he has not heard of any secondhand or firsthand information from anyone that has experienced loss, but it's safe to say that there is loss of woodlands, rangeland, grazing land, and, in some instances, vineyards. Clark said the primary focus at this point is life and safety. Once the fire is under control, then they can start to have a better idea of the impacts on property. The House has passed its budget bill and the Senate has passed its version out of committee. The two chambers must come together to iron out differences to provide tax relief to farmers and ranchers once the Senate bill moves forward. R.J. Carney, Director of Congressional Relations at AFBF, explained that a budget must be finished to allow tax reform to take place. The House and Senate need to pass a budget resolution that would allow the tax writing committees to develop a tax reform package that could pass through reconciliation. The House budget includes reconciliation instructions for the Agriculture Committee to cut $10 billion over a 10-year period from nutrition programs. On tax reform, the House wants a deficit-neutral tax reform. The current Senate proposal has no reconciliation instructions for the Agriculture Committee. In regards to tax reform, the Senate allows for a bill that adds up to $1.5 trillion to the deficit. For the second year, AFBF is offering a one-day conference to help entrepreneurs tap into the billions of dollars venture capital fund managers are looking to put into agriculture and food businesses. The 2018 Farm Bureau Agriculture Investment Summit, hosted in conjunction with the organization's annual convention, is slated for January 6th at the Gaylord Opryland Resort and Convention Center in Nashville, Tennessee. Geared toward entrepreneurs, investors, and Farm Bureau staff who want to support entrepreneurs in their states, the conference will address pitching to investors and working with them in the early stages, attracting later stage private equity investors, and dealing with legal issues. A recent NPR story features a father-daughter duo, Roberta and Rebecca Antienza of Hacienda San Pedro, a coffee plantation in central Puerto Rico. The Farm Bureau members describe how Hurricane Maria, which wiped out more than three-quarters of the island's small agricultural sector overnight, is affecting them. Roberto told NPR that maybe 90% of the plantation was destroyed by the hurricane. He's the third generation of his family to grow coffee on the same land. Antienza's specialty coffee company features hand-picked beans that dried in the sun, but they had picked just 2% of the beans before the hurricane blasted through. The company, which includes a San Juan coffee shop, will run out of beans in December. Coordinated federal review of advances in agricultural biotechnology will help America's farmers and ranchers achieve gains in efficiency and productivity needed to meet the continued challenges of the 21st century, according to AFBF President Zippy Duvall. Duvall said American agriculture must stay on the cutting edge of technology. Agency collaboration and efficient government review of new food production methods will help foster public confidence, provide our farmers and ranchers tools that enhance their productivity, and respect the diversity of our nation's crops and cropping systems. Duvall's comments came in response to a bipartisan letter from 79 members of the House to Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue, Food and Drug Administration Commissioner Scott Gottlieb, and Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Scott Pruitt. Spearheaded by Representatives Neil Dunn of Florida and Jimmy Panetti of California, the letter urges federal regulators to adhere to a consistent, science-based, risk-proportionate regulatory system for agricultural biotechnology. Before the North American Free Trade Agreement entered into force on January 1, 1994, state intervention and import tariffs held U.S. wheat exports from the Mexican market. NAFTA ended both, and the newly opened market helped the Mexican flour milling and wheat foods industry to flourish, as did U.S. wheat imports. U.S. Wheat Associates represents the interest of U.S. wheat farmers in international markets. As it does with all U.S. wheat importing customers, USW focuses on helping Mexico's sophisticated buyers, millers, and food processors solve problems or increase their business opportunities utilizing specific U.S. wheat classes as ingredients in specific types of wheat foods. This effort, supported by wheat farmers and the partnership with the Market Access Program and Foreign Market Development Program, has fostered a productive relationship that has endured for decades through many challenges. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.